This morning's responsive reading comes from Proverbs chapter 19, verses 15 to 29. And I think as you and I, as a church, read this back and forth responsively, there seems to be a topic that was repeated quite often, and it has to do about the lazy son, or the lazy daughter as well. We look at verse 15, for instance. Slothfulness cast it into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. In America, we have a homeless crisis. And even though we have declared a war on poverty going back to the 70s, when I was much younger, we had the war on drugs, and that was a failure. But then we also had the war on poverty. And poverty would include homelessness, things of that nature, families suffering, especially the children, not being fed with enough food, malnutrition, prone to illness, disease, and premature death. And we have had all kind of government programs. We have thrown so much tax money on the war on poverty and the war on drugs, and yet we still have a homeless crisis, and we have still many people living in poverty. On one occasion, Jesus did say, "The poor you will always have, but me you will not have," referring to the fact he was eventually going to ascend to the Father's right hand. But even Jesus said, "The poor you will always have." Now, there are those who fall into poverty and into homelessness because of situations that are outside of their control. Some people, they lose a job, or a devastating natural disaster occurs, and everything that they own, a home, knickknacks, memories, photo albums, goes up in smoke, or gets blown away by a tornado, or washed away in a flood. But beloved, I've been around the circle several times, and so have you. We know of many people, because of decisions that they've made in their life, has caused them to be in poverty or to be homeless. Some have wandered off into alcohol abuse, drug abuse, making a living off the streets. The Bible here says that slothfulness cast it into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. It's one thing for hard times to come upon someone, situations that were beyond their control. The factory that they were working simply closes. The business that they were running, because of whatever, forced to go into bankruptcy and eventually close. A sickness that drains all of their reserve cash with medical bills. Okay, those are things, beloved, that we don't see coming around the corner. But a lot of people are homeless, and a lot of people live in poverty because of very foolish choices and decisions that they've made in their life. I'm not trying to be mean here this morning, but those are the facts of life. And one of the reasons is someone who doesn't want to work. Now, the New Testament admonishment is quite clear. If you do not work, you do not eat. And that was written to a church body where some people in the church, for whatever reason, made it their divine calling to be a busybody in other men's affairs. They stopped working, and they focused their life's ambition to poke their nose into everyone else's business but their own. And that was a rebuke to those individuals found in the first and second books of Thessalonians. Paul told them, basically, to shut up, get to work, and pay your bills, and take your nose out of everybody else's business. Slothfulness cast it into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Okay. Look at verse 24. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. I mean, this person that's being described in verse 24 apparently is so lazy, he doesn't even have the motivation to pick up the spoon or the fork and feed himself. He doesn't have the energy or the calories to burn. I think more so, he lacks motivation to do something even for himself, like to feed himself. And as we drive around our own town here, we see a lot of people at busy intersections with signs. God bless you, I'm hungry. And that person, like yesterday, sitting on a corner with a lot of traffic coming and going in 90 degree heat. Why would anybody bake themselves all day to get a few handouts? I think if someone can sit for hours on end in a heat index in the mid-90s, if they can do that much, they should be able to do something constructively with their hands other than hold a cardboard sign. It's quite evident that person is not was not incapacitated. He was drinking bottled water, sitting, holding a cardboard sign. He has that much energy to do that much. He can at least do something, even if it's part-time work, to bring home what he needs. Look at verse 26. He that wasteth his father and chasteneth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Well, probably the one that's being mentioned about in verse 26, this individual son or this individual daughter will eventually become the one who's mentioned in verse 24 and the one who's mentioned in verse 15. Now, what is a parent's responsibility? Well, look at verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope. There's always hope. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. Maybe some of these people who are living in poverty, these people who are homeless, for whatever reason, maybe mom and dad just didn't provide any kind of boundaries to life. Maybe mom and dad were too busy doing this or too busy doing that. They didn't have enough time to at least instill a little bit of discipline or a little bit of wisdom into their child's heart and mind. That might be one cause. Verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, especially when you're young, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Why do some people never seem to grow up? Have you ever met somebody who was like middle age or even getting close to their senior years? And you wonder, what type of journey have you taken? You don't seem to be any bit wiser than when you were a child. We have people today who may be old physically, old chronologically, but they're very immature. And they're unable to even think for themselves, not because of some illness. For whatever reason, sound counsel was never given, or sound counsel was given, but verse 20 says you have to hear it and then you have to receive it. It's one thing to tell a child, don't do this, over and over. And if the child keeps on going back and repeats that behavior over and over, the child heard you, but the child never received that instruction. And so in the latter end, what do you find? You find a child that's now an adult with all the bad habits learned in childhood, and now it carries over even in their senior years. And then we have verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. So you take verse 20 and then bump it up with verse 27. Isn't it amazing that children will gravitate towards the counsel that will destroy them, that will torpedo any hopes and dreams of a profitable, successful life. Isn't it amazing? Here's another one. It's more easier for people to believe a lie than it is to believe truth. Anybody can swallow the doctrine of natural selection and evolution. They eat that like it's candy. But then you tell them, oh no, there's another option here. There's a God, and he spoke everything into existence. And we can read about that in Genesis chapter 1. And they reject that wholesale. Isn't it amazing that man, in his natural state, is more inclined to believe a lie than he is to believe facts, reason, and truth? And so we conclude Proverbs chapter 19 at looking at the lazy person, the son or the daughter that will not receive proper instruction, but will run headlong into the wisdom of this world that will destroy them and their lives in the end. Well, may God truly have mercy on our land and especially young people. Amen.